look and cuddle with me all night. Give me one, let me long, be my sunlight. Tell me lies, we can argue, we can fight. Yeah, we did it before, but we'll do it tonight. Yeah, that fro black boy with the gold teeth. Your dark skin looking at me like you know me. I wonder if you got the G or the B. Let me find out and see you coming over to me.
Welcome to the podfic of Calling Your Name by Lyra Talese, an Our Flag Means Death fanfiction read by Little Fingies. This is a gentle beard fic, modern setting, smutty. I'm going to go ahead and read you the tags. As the author notes in the archive, please mind the tags on this one. The tags include smut, angst, happy ending, succubus, monster fucking, non-consensual voyeurism, sex with other people, stalking, public sex, runaway, crime, nightmares, and boundary violations. It's actually really sweet. It doesn't sound that way in the tags, but check out the archive for the detailed notes if you want some more information. Summary. Night after night, Ed lures men into an alleyway and takes them against the wall. Steed watches. He's not proud of himself, but he can't look away, unable to fight his growing obsession. He's never wanted anything so much in his life, but he's the one person Ed won't touch. This fic is rated explicit, and no archive warnings apply. This podfic is also a gift for Lyra Talese as a thank you for donating to Rainbow Railroad as a part of the Adopt Our Crew Pride fundraiser. And with all that said, here is chapter one of Calling Your Name. The other man was pushed up against the brick wall in the alley. The new moon and the bar's busted back security lamps meant they were only lit in the glow of a distant streetlight. The bar was in the middle of the block, partially backed onto an overgrown lot. They were deep in the shadow of the building, but anyone could happen by and guess at what they were doing. Neither of them seemed to care. Steed hadn't meant to follow them out, but he'd been helpless against the lure of the exquisite man he'd seen inside the bar. It was like a dozen fishhooks had snagged into his flesh, tugging him out the door. He'd have followed him anywhere, behind the bar, certainly, but also into danger, maybe off a damn cliff. Steed would be powerless to stop it. He was on his leather-clad knees in the gravel, working open the fly of the man against the wall. That man, black hair, dressed in a football jersey, was moaning as the beautiful man palmed over him and then pulled his cock out. He jerked him off before encouraging him to slide into his mouth, and Steed stared. Steed reached down, adjusted the tight press of his own cock against the stiff denim of his skin-tight jeans. He stood there, hand still, even as he longed to move it, and knew he should make himself go. Instead, he swallowed hard and stayed, leaned against the rough brick. Watched. He'd never known that voyeurism was a thing he liked, but his pounding pulse and aching cock told him that he did. He licked his lips and watched as the black-haired man tangled his fingers into the black and silver waves of the man on his knees, who moaned in response, his head tipping further back and exposing the long line of his elegant neck. The black-haired man tightened his grip and began fucking his face. They both moaned this time, Steed biting down hard on his lip to not join them. The beautiful man took the cock like an expert, like he'd had dozens thrust down his throat, as if he were born to lose himself in the motion of a man fucking him. The black-haired man made a sound, a broken mule, and came. Steed's eyes didn't move. They stayed on the man on his knees, steady on his face, watching the pleasure of the moment wash over him. Steed could still feel the aching tension of his own cock, the desire to finish himself right here. He didn't. He needed to go, only he still stood frozen. The beautiful man pulled away and rubbed the back of his hand over his mouth, and then he looked directly at Steed. His expression was neutral, neither angry nor interested, only meeting Steed's gaze. His eyes were dark in the shadows, and he kept them on Steed. Steed's entire body felt hot, like he might come just from those eyes lingering on him, and he was not supposed to be here. He spun away, stumbling back down the alley and out onto the sidewalk. He took long minutes to calm himself before walking back to the crowded bar. He found his friends and shook his head in dismissal when they asked where he'd been. It wasn't like he could tell them that he'd watched the most breathtaking man he'd ever seen deep-throat someone to completion, because he'd never looked away. You have to stop. Steed had never heard the beautiful man speak, just heard the sounds, the urging on, the hums. But he'd imagined, and he wasn't disappointed. His voice was low and sexy, and Steed would trade his immortal soul to hear it forever. He looked up from the polished gleam of the bar he'd been contemplating to find the beautiful man watching him. Leather jacket, t-shirt, leather pants, boots, all in black. Steed had never seen him in anything else. His splendid hair was half up tonight, the top part pulled into some kind of lovely twist. He slid onto the bar stool next to Steed. Steed held his gaze for a moment more, then looked away again. Why do you do it? Why do you think I do it? He asked. I don't know. I've seen the men you take. Never the same one, one or two a night, but not every night. You flirt, but not that much. Is it because you're beautiful? Are you suggesting I'm not working hard enough for the cock in my mouth? The man said with the barest hint of mirth. I'm saying you put a truly incredible lack of effort into it for your success rate, Steed replied, bitchiness slipping into his tone. The man laughed, loud and amused, like he couldn't believe Steed would say it. But caution had gone with fascination, and Steed had been fascinated for weeks, had been watching for weeks. Would you believe I'm cheating? No, I wouldn't. How would you even do that? Steed asked with curiosity. The man looked over at Steed, a little curve of a smile on his lips, and said, but I am. He studied Steed, eyes trailing over him. Steed knew what he saw. Perfectly coiffed blonde hair, hazel eyes, shoulders his tailor had called magnificent under the exquisite lines of the peacock-colored suit he'd worn to work today. He'd discarded his tie and opened his shirt down his chest before coming here. Ed's grin got a touch wider. I'm bored out of my fucking skull. Couldn't even tell you the last time someone really saw me. Buy me a drink, and I'll tell you all my secrets. His tone was pure seduction, but it tugged at something else in Steed. Desire of a different sort entirely. He wanted to know this man. Really? You will? Steed asked with too much warmth. He couldn't contain his delight. Yeah. Name's Ed. Steed Bonnet, at your service. Ed rumbled another laugh, apparently delighted in turn by Steed's enthusiasm. They ordered drinks, and Ed led them away from the bar to a little table tucked into a corner, away from other people who might listen in. Ed looked at it thoughtfully for a moment, and then shifted the chairs next to each other. They both sat down, and he turned his head and smiled at Seed. "You're not going to believe me."
"You might be surprised."
Ed gave a brief shrug and said, "I'm a succubus."
"Don't you mean incubus?" clarified Steed.
Ed blinked.
"No, I fucking don't. You ever see me take a woman? I feed on men. Makes me a succubus."
"I thought it was all, same demon. Male form and female form."
"That's fucking ridiculous. We're whatever form we want to be. We define ourselves by function. I feed on men's orgasms, so I'm a succubus."
Ed huffed.
"Of all the ways I'd imagined this might go, this isn't it."
"Are you still bored?" Steed asked, unable to resist a grin.
"No, I'm not," Ed admitted.
"Sounds like it's going perfectly then. So you're using your powers to lure your meals?"
"You can say victims, and
He held his hand flat, wiggling it back and forth.
"Little bit. Not the full whammy, just a touch of charm. Have you seen me?"
"Oh, now we're back to it. So it is because you're beautiful."
Ed grinned widely, his eyes crinkling up.
"Yeah, you got me. I was lying the first time."
"You're not a mythical creature?"
"I don't really have to use my powers to hunt," Ed said with a dismissive lift of his shoulder.
That made sense to Steed. Even if Ed were using some kind of ability, it would likely have a range of influence, probably limited to Ed's immediate proximity. Steed had still come back night after night, even when he was surely out of the reach of Ed's charm.
"Will you show me?" Steed asked, unable to contain the hunger in his voice.
Ed's smile dropped.
"You've seen it plenty. I can feel your arousal, which means I know to the second how much time you've spent watching me. It's like you're fucking glowing, lit up like a firefly calling me to you. All that fucking hunger." He sighed.
Steed felt his cheeks heat. He'd done his best to stay out of sight. He looked up to meet Ed's gaze.
"I wasn't asking to watch. I meant, will you feed on me? Will you show me how you do it? What it feels like?"
His mouth was dry with the desire curling through him.
"No." Ed shook his head.
"No, I won't. That's not something I want to do."
If Steed had thought he was embarrassed before, this was worse. He couldn't believe he'd thought this beautiful man would want him, even as a food source. Tears pricked at his eyes. He was never going to stop shaming himself, was he? He cleared his throat.
"I thought, I misunderstood. I'm going."
He shoved the chair back with a scrape and pushed to his feet, very much needing to leave.
Ed reached out, hand wrapping around Steed's wrist.
"Please, don't go. I didn't mean..."
He seemed to realize that Steed wasn't going to sit back down, so he stood up, stepping into Steed's face.
He whispered, "I'd be feeding on your life force, taking a bit of you from you. I can't bear to do that."
"And if I want it anyway?" Steed asked against his ear.
"I won't do it. Don't ask me for that."
Ed moved back enough to meet his eyes. He looked troubled and yet somehow shy.
"I don't want to risk hurting you. I meant what I said earlier. No one ever really sees me, but you've been looking right at me for weeks. Please, sit back down."
Steed could hear the strain. Ed sounded desperate. The bored facade of earlier crumbled away entirely. He suddenly understood that Ed was telling the truth. All this time, he'd been just as aware of Steed as Steed had been of him.
Steed sat back down, and Ed followed, reseating himself.
Steed considered what Ed had already told him.
"Wouldn't it be renewable?"
"What?"
Ed looked so baffled that it was cute.
Steed wanted nothing so much as to surprise him over and over, so he could see that expression countless times. People, humans, we eat for our energy. We grow and change. If we're talking sperm, the body makes it all the time. Wouldn't the energy be renewable? Or are you saying that you truly feed on souls? Fuck if I know. Ed sounded exasperated. Not like I got a handbook for this shit. My mom was human. I don't even know if that's normal or if I was a fluke. There aren't so many of us, and we don't get along well. He grimaced. I think I killed my dad. I wish I'd killed my dad, Steed commented, though not very sincerely. No, you don't. I mean, I'm not even sure it was him. He was just some incubus, and he was being a real dick. I wasn't putting up with his fucking attitude, so we fought, and I sort of fatally stabbed him. Then he said some weird shit about me looking like my mom. He sighed. The family reunions were gonna suck anyway. Ed had curled in on himself as he talked, and Steed reached to touch his shoulder, not anticipating that it would result in Ed pulling him into a hug, arms tight around Steed, head against his shoulder. Steed relaxed into it, trying not to lose himself in Ed's lovely wood smoke and whiskey scent. He rubbed a hand over Ed's back. That sounds miserable, not to have anyone and to not know. I wish things were different for you. Ed sighed, and then his lips were moving against Steed's neck. There were words, but Steed could no longer follow the conversation, desire moving from a low burn to a sudden, bright flame. Ed's arms went loose around him, and he pulled away. Steed could feel the way Ed's eyes stayed on him, studying his lips, his neck, trailing down his open collar, and lingering on the V of chest exposed there. Steed was pinned in Ed's gaze, both of them taking the same shallow breaths, and Steed couldn't hold on to a single thought. He leaned toward Ed, wanting to feel the touch of his lips. The movement seemed to snap Ed out of his fascination. Ed said softly, his breath still coming a little fast, "You're delicious. Your whole look, your fucking attitude. You wouldn't believe how much I want a taste of you." Steed didn't feel that could be true, and yet he could see Ed's hunger and was flustered by it. If they both wanted it so much, he didn't understand why they couldn't just have it. So he made an effort to try to focus on what Ed had been telling him before. "So you don't feed on the same person more than once because you don't know what you're doing to them?" "Yeah, could be anything. I don't know what I'm taking from the humans I steal from." "There's a way to find out. We could experiment, see if we could measure it." "You can't measure a soul." "Honestly, you don't strike me as particularly infernal. More like an energy vampire with a very specific preference. Do you actually have to..." "You about to ask me if I swallow cum just because I like it?" Ed asked, eyes lit with amusement. Yes, I was about to ask that," Steed grinned. "I'm not trying to be rude, I'm just curious." "Can't say I've ever tried separating them. Don't want to waste a feeding to find out." Steed drew himself up, setting his shoulders back. Maybe Ed would have him if it were for science. "You could try it with me. We could try it together." It was the wrong thing to suggest. "I said I won't," Ed growled, and his eyes were not quite human anymore. "I can't do this, not with you. Goodbye, Steed." He stood and stormed out of the bar. Steed felt bereft and silly, and still he wanted. Steed's shoe scuffed in the gravel, an audible scrape. He'd done it on purpose. Ed was on his knees, lips stretched around his prey's cock, but his eyes cut in Steed's direction at the sound. Steed braced one hand against the wall, meeting Ed's gaze as he pulled down his zipper and drew himself out of his trousers. Steed kept his eyes on Ed as he began fisting over his own cock. Ed moaned loudly, taking the other man deeper, but it was Steed he was watching. Steed had been in this alley with Ed so many times, had watched him hungrily. He knew his pace, knew his routine, so he knew when Ed chose to slow down the blowjob, taking the man into his mouth more languidly than usual. His head was still tipped in Steed's direction, and they moved together, Steed on himself, Ed's mouth on the stranger. Steed was breathing hard, breath rasping audibly, imagining that Ed was moving on him, feeling it was his cock in Ed's mouth. It didn't matter that they were apart. They were still fucking each other. He bit into his own shoulder to muffle the sound and came hard over his fist. Steed leaned back behind a decorative half column of brick, listening as Ed encouraged his prey to return to the bar. Then he was at Steed's side, lifting the soiled hand to his mouth and laving his tongue over the mess, the tip darting between Steed's fingers. Ed looked down the inside of Steed's wrist where he had spilled over, sealing his lips against the sensitive skin and sucking it into his mouth as if he had to capture every trace. Still not speaking, he slipped to his knees and stroked his tongue over Steed's cock. Ed pulled Steed into his mouth, and it was like his entire body sparked as Ed cleansed every hint of their recent activity. Ed sighed, released him, and then looked up at him, one eyebrow raised. He tucked Steed back in and secured his zipper. "I told you I couldn't do this." "You think you can't do it, but you do it all the time," Steed argued. "I said not with you." Ed pushed to his feet, coming into Steed's space, their chests nearly touching. "It will never be with you." Steed felt the ache of grief in his throat. "Why not? You want me." Ed laughed. "You think I don't fucking know that? Fuck off with that. Of course I want you." The easy surety of the words soothed Steed. He didn't want to be alone in this. "Just tell me, did it work?" "No, it's like crumbs, sparks. There's something there, but it's only a hint, and now I know how you taste. Like fucking sunshine. Like a summer day." "Then taste me again, Ed, please." Ed frowned, and his eyes were so dark in the dim alley. He pinned Steed back against the wall, the brick rough against his shirt. Ed brought his mouth close to Steed's, breathing hard. "I won't. And we won't meet like this again. You're still not hearing me. I would drain you dry, Steed Bonnet." "Then do it," Steed said, meaning it. He wanted it enough that he didn't care about the consequences. He wanted Ed enough that he would give anything, everything. Ed seemed to sense it. His voice broke. "Steed, please, go the fuck home. Try fucking some humans, you nut. If you watch me again, I'll change my feeding grounds. I'll fucking disappear." "So that's it? Friends or nothing?" Steed felt a crashing despair. "That's it." Ed looked determined, but also still damnably hungry. Steed wanted to push it, wanted to press a breath forward and meet his lips, but he wouldn't lose Ed like this. "Okay." He dropped his head. "Okay. No more, I promise." He couldn't help it, though. He had to know. He looked back up. "But you'll still talk to me, inside? We can still have that?" Ed reached up and laid his palm against Steed's cheek. "Only that. and you better tell me about your fucking dates.
I will.
Ed released him, stood back. Goodbye.
I want someone to love me. I need someone who needs me.
One, two, three, four.
Need a boy who can cuddle with me all night. Give me one, let me long, be my sunlight. Tell me lies, we can argue, we can fight. Yeah, we did it before, but we'll do it tonight. Yeah, that fro black boy with the gold teeth, the dark skin looking at me like you know me. I wonder if you got the G or the B. Let me find out and see you coming over to me. Yeah. These days are way too lonely. I'm missing out, I know. These days are way too long, and I'm not forgiving love away, but.
Calling Your Name, Chapter 2. We have some content warnings for this chapter. I'll put them in the show notes, and you can also go back to the archive to the original story to check those out. Ed had done what he had to do, what was best, and it ached. Hurt like a bitch, really. Not that he didn't fucking deserve it. Slamming his fist against a wall once was silly. Doing it again and again was nonsense, and he'd already done it so many times. Steed didn't even know the worst of it, couldn't see the whole picture, because Ed had never revealed it to him. He'd withheld things. One big thing, really. He'd hinted, of course. He'd told Steed the very first time they spoke that he knew how often Steed had watched, how much he'd seen. That was true. It just wasn't the whole truth. The whole truth looked like Ed following the handsome blonde man home from the bar on the very first night he'd watched Ed feed. It looked like Ed easily discovering Steed's name from his chatty and flirtatious assistant. It looked like Ed using that ridiculously unique name to find out everything he could about Steed Bonnet. His digital stalking told him that Steed was 47, 3 years divorced from a woman, recently out as gay. No children, and himself an only child, sole inheritor of an excessive amount of wealth, which he mostly dispersed to several charitable causes. How any of that had led him to haunting an alley night after night, Ed couldn't fucking guess. The electronic digging had been informative, as far as it went, but it wasn't very satisfying. So Ed had taken to following Steed regularly. He trailed him through his days and nights, seeing how he lived his life. It turned out that Steed was kind, funny, and rather delightfully bitchy, all of which only made Ed more fascinated with him. By the time Ed had introduced himself at the bar, it was because he could no longer deny himself an opportunity for his own conversations with Steed. Only being what he was, being who he'd become because of what he was, how he felt about Steed was all tangled up. Did he only want Steed to feed on because he was hungry? Or did he want Steed in another way entirely because he was different? How could loneliness be an excuse for destroying a man's life? Worse than that, Steed wanted it too, with a hunger that matched Ed's. Steed would never deny them anything. He was an eternal yes. Yes, the first night he watched. Yes, all the nights after. Yes, the night they finally talked. Hunger flared up like a bonfire. It was a constant low burn, tugging at Ed. So Ed had told him that he wouldn't, had set a firm boundary, because the alternative was too fucking dangerous. What if he bewitched Steed by accident? It was a boundary that Steed had simply stepped over. there was Ed on a completely ordinary night, engaged in the entirely mundane activity of feeding from a man so unremarkable that Ed wouldn't have been able to give a single identifying feature later. He'd felt Steed first, the signal fire of his desire, and then heard the scrape of his foot. And Ed, damned as he already was, had looked. He'd seen Steed, and he had been so entirely lost. Steed, tucking down his zipper and pulling out his cock. Steed, stroking himself while he watched Ed with a starved expression. Ed could have stopped it all. He should have ended the feeding, but he wanted Steed too fucking much. So instead, he'd allowed himself to pretend that he was sharing this act with Steed, that the man he had pinned up against the wall was the one he truly wanted. He slowed down. He teased his tongue over the cock that could be Steed's. He drew out the first part, letting the cock slide over his lips, shallow thrusts and suction. He held him to a slow build before finally sucking him deeper, the head of his cock pressed into Ed's throat. Ed had reveled in the sensation, the ecstasy of finally having this together, all while he continued to watch Steed's face. He willed him to come. He appreciated the sharp flare of it, Steed's exhilarated expression as he fell into it, the way his teeth pressed into his upper arm as he muffled his shout. He was so enticing, and Ed hadn't felt at all. It hadn't fed him. He nearly choked when the man he was actually fucking came, so lost in Steed that he hadn't remembered he was feeding on someone else. The meal was as ordinary as the man, the equivalent of plain toast. He sent the man on his way, and then he'd taken precisely what he'd wanted for months. He had licked Steed's taste from his fingers, sucked it from his wrist, savoring it as he'd fantasized about doing so many times. He had let it coat his tongue. It was like life, like fulfillment and joy, like a banquet. He had finally held Steed's cock in his mouth, soft post-orgasm, but still feeling like a blessing. And he was so fucked. He wouldn't be able to resist again. Ever. If they were like this again, he wouldn't say no, even if it was the right thing to do. Even if it would save Steed from him. So he'd told Steed to go. And Steed fucking had. And then Ed had finally, sensibly, left the situation alone. Only he still hadn't. He'd lasted all of 3 weeks. Early evening found Ed lingering outside of Steed's office, watching him finish up his day through the large windows. Steed's entirely voluntary job was some kind of passion project he'd taken up after his father died. Steed cherished beautiful things. Ed already knew that from seeing his wonderful clothes. His office was no exception. Pretty furniture carved out of real wood, bright colors, and lush fabrics. It was nearly as gorgeous as Steed himself. It made Ed wish he were beautiful. Not his form, but his essence. It made him wish that he were worthy of Steed's care. Steed shut down his computer and paced into the reception area, taking a few minutes to talk to his assistant, Lucius, before he disappeared out the door. He came back into view a few minutes later. Steed enjoyed walking and lived in a condo close to his office. For a man who'd noticed Ed in the first place, he was otherwise not particularly observant, Ed thought, as he followed Steed home. It was, he had to admit, really fucking nice to see Steed in daylight again. All loose, bouncy golden hair, broad shoulders and chest, and fantastic legs, all fucking wrapped up in vivid colors. Ed stayed back as Steed went into his home. He waited patiently until he was visible in the kitchen, cooking his dinner, and that was a fucking relief. Last night, Steed had gone on a date, and Ed had wanted to kick through a brick wall, which was especially nonsensical because he'd been the one to fucking insist on fucking dating. He knew he was bad for Steed, dangerous, that it was better if he kept his distance. But he couldn't. He just wanted to be close to him, even if it meant watching him kiss other men. Darkness fell, and Ed continued to wait. He watched until Steed turned off the TV and retreated to his bedroom. At least the man kept his damn bedroom windows covered. It didn't matter. Ed felt the warmth of it hit him first, heat and then a flare of light, his firefly glowing with desire. He couldn't see it, but he perceived it, some kind of fucked up second sight that let him know when he could feed. He didn't. He waited as the light grew brighter, burst, faded. He didn't know if it made him a fucking pervert. It was like staring at a beautifully decorated cake that he didn't intend to eat. Only, he'd already had the tiniest nibble, and he wanted the rest of it so fucking bad. He sighed. He'd go to the nearest bar. He'd fucking eat. He'd go home and sleep. None of it fucking mattered. The thing about being some kind of actual fucking cryptid is that it was easy to slip through the cracks. Steed had never asked Ed what he did when he wasn't eating, and Ed didn't imagine that Steed would relish finding out that Ed was a fucking thief. He'd been a teenager when he began to notice the glowing, and hadn't that been an awkward fucking thing to work out? His first feeding had been accidental, another boy at school. He had swallowed him down and felt full for the first time in his entire fucking life. "Hey, Mom, did you happen to fuck a creature of the night?" was not a question he'd ever anticipated asking. The answer was as mortifying for both of them as it was confusing. His mom knew shit about it, couldn't tell him what he was becoming, and he couldn't stay and make her watch him change into something unrecognizable. He disappeared, abandoning the life he'd been born into and shifting into one built around who he really was, a monster. He'd told Steed the truth about that, at least. There wasn't a handbook. There were legends, myths, and popular fiction. The fiction was clear. A person in the thrall of a succubus would fuck themselves to death, rejecting food and sleep, forsaking life itself in favor of pleasure. They died drained of vitality. He'd decided early on that he would never intentionally lead someone into his thrall. He only used the lightest of touches when he fed, an invitation to look, to take what he was offering, and the smallest persuasion to erase the uncanny. Clearing out their wallets, on the other hand, was just practical. From there, it had been a very short step to credit card fraud. The step from that to joining a gang had been even smaller, and his gang had use for someone that had the oddest knack of ending up with people's financial information. So the years slid by, bigger and more elaborate heists, and always hiding what he really was. It had been fucking Izzy who'd called it quits first. Ed had always thought that maybe he suspected, that he'd noticed that Ed was a little too fucking charming. Izzy said if they ever botched it, it wasn't Ed who'd be going to prison. Izzy had enough money to retire comfortably, and he was out. They all had piles of money at that point, and maybe Ed had just been doing the same old thing out of habit. Their little group had dissolved, and now Ed was, very reasonably, using his days and nights to stalk Steed Bonnet. The next night was better. It was their night, the night that Ed was allowed to bask in Steed's presence. He still followed him home after work. Fucking habit at this point, and fucking sicko that he was, he liked watching Steed get ready for him. Steed would stand in front of a mirror in his living room, trying on several outfits, twirling to view them from all sides, before selecting one to wear out. completely bananas behavior, and Ed fucking adored it. He loved knowing what the night's outfit count had been, and wished he could ask Steed what the criteria were. It occurred to him, as he followed Steed to the bar where they met once a week, that he could ask without implying that he already knew there was a routine involved. He watched Steed go into the bar, waited, and then went in. They settled at their usual table, both with drinks. Ed could still consume human food, fucking useful for when he'd had to convince his gang that he was fucking normal, but it had stopped nourishing him around the same time his infernal nature had kicked in. He mostly got it for appearances and to put Steed at ease. He glanced over at him, absorbing all the details that came with getting to be so close. He appreciated the way Steed smelled, his dimple, the individual lines at his eyes. He was so fucking beautiful that it hurt Ed a little. He just wanted to reach out and touch him. So he deliberately placed his hand on the table, away from Steed. "How do you decide?" he asked, voice a little rough with all the longing he was crushing down. "Decide what?" "What to wear." Ed surveyed tonight's outfit. It was a teal suit, jacket open, fucking crop top under it, a slim slice of furry tummy peeking out. Ed was not staring. "Oh," Steed said, as if he could not be more delighted that Ed had asked. "I try them all on." "Them? So, more than one outfit?" "Usually not more than six." Steed's eyebrows went up as he heard himself. "That's probably too many." "Nah, it's fucking fascinating. Why'd you choose this one tonight?" Steed laughed and then placed a finger very gently under Ed's chin, shifting it up so that Ed was meeting his eyes instead of staring at his waist. "I think you know why I selected this one." "That's not very fair." "Leveling the playing field. I can hardly breathe when I look at you," Steed whispered. "Right. There was a reason this wasn't a safe topic of conversation. No admiring the pretty icing on the cake he wasn't eating." Ed changed the subject, delivering a swift kick to his own balls. "Dress like this for your dates?" Steed looked thoughtful and then launched into a full and loving breakdown of his entire date night wardrobe. Ed was shocked to learn that he'd only seen a fraction of it in his lurking. What he had somehow missed was that Steed's condo had two bedrooms, and one was exclusively an additional wardrobe. Complete overkill. Steed was the perfect amount of too much, and all Ed wanted to do was stay with him forever. He didn't know how much longer he could hold out. Steed moaned as Ed shoved him up against the brick wall. They resumed the kissing they'd started inside. Fucking irresistible Steed. How was Ed supposed to not want this when Steed wanted Ed so badly? It had been innocent enough, a brush of their hands. Steed had sighed, met Ed's eyes, and seeing the longing there, leaned in and pressed their mouths together. Ed was so weak. Ed had allowed it, had more than allowed it, had slipped his hand around the back of Steed's neck and held him close as their lips continued to move. Steed had broken away, had asked Ed to take him outside, and damn Ed, he'd agreed. Still, he could draw this out, make it last longer. He gave himself over to the kissing. It didn't feed him. He hadn't known if the meal was orgasm or cum, or both until he'd tongued off Steed's cum, but he'd always been sure that he didn't feed from kissing. It was safe enough, except where it encouraged other things. Things like Steed currently rubbing his hard cock against Ed. "Please, Ed," Steed said quietly. Ed flashed on the time they'd done this before, together and yet not. "Touch yourself." It was fine if he didn't touch Steed. Then there was no chance of Ed hurting him, draining him. Steed didn't protest. He reached down and worked open the fastenings of his pants, pulling himself free from his briefs. Then his hand was stroking over himself, and Ed could smell him, could taste him in the air, could see the flare of his desire. He was so fucking lost. He dropped to his knees, wishing that the pain would ground him, but the hunger was too great. He should have fed before he met with Steed, instead of watching him play dress-up. Now there would be no stopping what came next. Because he didn't want to, because Steed didn't want to. Steed wasn't even trying to resist. He was guiding himself into Ed's mouth, and Ed was taking him. It was delight and fulfillment, and Ed didn't want anything else. Then Steed's hand was in his hair for the first time, Steed sliding over his lips, and there was only one way this could go. Only one ending. Ed submitted. He sucked Steed, let his tongue play over him, and drew him relentlessly to the edge. Steed's arousal was every bit as delicious as Ed had imagined he would be. Sunshine and something delicate beneath it. Hope or possibility. It was almost intangible and completely undeniable. Steed came, and Ed was sated. Steed released a lazy, contented sigh. Or that's how Ed read it, but Steed's next words stripped him of that notion. Can we go again? And they could, but there was no way Steed should know that. Ed had never even hinted at that ability. Yet, here they were, repeating the act immediately. And again. Steed collapsed after the fourth time. His legs simply slipped out from under him, and he fell, and Ed hadn't stopped any of it, had caused it. Steed, fuck, I'm sorry, he gasped. Steed, please, don't do this. Steed's eyes were hollow, and he didn't move. Gone. He was gone. Ed jerked awake. He brushed the tears on his face and tried to get his breathing back under control. It was a fucking nightmare. He hadn't done it. He'd never once used his power on Steed, and he hadn't killed him. He was playing with fucking fire. He knew it. Apparently his subconscious knew it too, and had delivered this gift-wrapped warning. Why the fuck couldn't he just leave Steed alone? But he fucking knew. Knew that Steed was the only bright spot in a lifetime full of gray, the only color in his world. If he gave Steed up, he would have nothing left. If he didn't give Steed up, he would destroy the man he now knew for certain he loved. There was no path forward. The next week was harder. He didn't stalk Steed, still haunted by the specter of causing his death. He nearly skipped their meeting, but in the end, he couldn't bear to. He needed to assure himself that Steed was alive, happy. He would just make sure that they didn't touch. He wouldn't give in to his instincts, to his needs. It was as if Steed could sense Ed withdrawing. Had he felt Ed's absence when he hadn't seemed to notice his presence? Steed was dressed more conservatively than the week before. Perhaps he'd come directly from work, because he was still in a tie. Only, it was worse than that. He hadn't been home to change, he informed Ed, because he'd had a date right after work. Drinks. And it had gone pretty well. That hurt, but it was all to the good, because Ed could never be what Steed needed. He would never be safe for him. End of chapter.
I want someone to love me. I need someone who needs me.
One, two, three, four.
Need a boy you can cuddle with me all night. Give me one, let me long, be my sunlight. Tell me lies, we can argue, we can fight. Yeah, we did it before, but we'll do it tonight. Yeah, that fro black boy with the gold teeth, your dark skin looking at me like you know me. I wonder if you got the G or the B. Let me find out and see you coming over to me.
Calling Your Name, Chapter 3. There are some content warning details for this chapter, which I'll put in the show notes as well as on AO3. And if you were waiting for the angst to wrap up, you are safe to listen with this chapter. Here we go. It wasn't the same as before. Ed must be feeding somewhere else, at least part of the time, but they still saw each other once a week at the bar. Steed wanted to be able to say that he was upholding his end of things, at least technically, so he did what he said he would. He got on the apps. He went on blind dates and to singles events. He dated and tried to keep his mind open, if not his heart. 6 months of hookups and first dates and second dates that didn't turn into more, and he was still thinking only of Ed. He tried to find out more about what Ed was and how he fed, but there were almost no sources. Legends, jokes, scant real information. When he made the mistake of leaving his computer unlocked for Lucius to see, he lightly patted Steed's shoulder and suggested he ask his doctor about sleep paralysis. Steed felt ridiculous, but he didn't think Ed was lying. There just weren't any answers. Ed was still cautious, careful of Steed. He asked after Steed's work and his friends. Steed stopped telling him about the dates, noticing that it always made Ed look pained. They didn't talk about Ed's nature either, just every other topic in the world. They spent hours cozied next to each other at a table, sharing ideas and interests, delving into things that fascinated them. Those nights made Steed feel sad and happy both, torn between what he wanted and what was likely best for him, certainly what was safer for him. Sitting next to Ed kindled a warm glow in his chest, like he was the firefly Ed had named him in truth, and all Steed wanted was the chance to bask in that feeling. But it wasn't all Steed wanted, because try as he might to conceal it, Ed was still hungry for him. He would catch Ed's eyes on him, drinking him in. Sometimes Ed couldn't resist touching him, their hands brushing together, Ed's knee against Steed's, or, once in a great while, a hand gently curved against Steed's face. Ed always pulled away, so Steed dreamed of Ed instead. In dreams, Steed had whatever he desired, as much as he wanted. He'd been dating Ryan for 3 weeks, a new personal best. He was handsome, funny, and kind, and he seemed to genuinely like Steed. So when Ryan asked, Steed went with him to his apartment. He kissed him, hands roving, and Ryan slid onto his knees. Steed should have stopped him. Of all the actions Ryan could have taken, this was the one inextricably bound to Ed in Steed's mind. But this was what he was here for. To sever those ties in whatever way he had to. Only, it didn't work. It was Ryan kneeling in front of him, Ryan's mouth on his cock. Only in Steed's head and in his heart, it was Ed. And it was Ed's name he moaned when he came. Ryan looked up at Steed, his eyes shocked, then hurt. Steed felt like shit and lied. "I'm so sorry. I'm still hung up on my ex. I thought I was over it, but clearly I'm not. I should have mentioned it before. We, well, anything. I thought I could just barrel through it." Ryan stared at him as he got to his feet. "Man, that's shit. Didn't anyone ever tell you that you have to feel your feelings? Like, if you don't process them, they're just going to linger."
"I, no.
Steed felt worse because he was an ass and Ryan was, if possible, being even kinder to him. "It's true. I mean, wish you had told me before we did all of that, but yeah, you should give yourself time to be sad before you try to jump back into things." Thank you, truly. I'm sorry. Steed collected his things, feeling sad and embarrassed, and the longer he thought about it, angry. Who was Ed to choose for Steed how he lived his life? He could understand why Ed was worried, but they hadn't even tried. Steed ambushed him. There was no other way to describe it. Some real hunting the hunter nonsense. He wasn't unaware of the irony, he just didn't care. He waited, silent and calm, for Ed in the shadows behind the bar. When Ed finally came out with the night's meal, pushing him back against the wall, Steed moved into view. He kept his eyes on Ed's face, so he saw the split second that his expression was solely joy, before all the other feelings flooded in after that. Steed didn't move, didn't change his posture, waited. "What do you want?" Ed asked. "What the fuck?" said Ed's meal. "Get rid of him," Steed said firmly. Ed sighed. "You're being really fucking dramatic." Then he shrugged and told the man he'd brought with him to leave, waving him off when he tried to protest. "Go on, go back inside. I have business." Steed stepped into Ed, completely into his personal space. "We've tried this your way, and it hasn't worked. I dated humans, like you asked. It's still you I dream about. I called your name last night when I was with someone else." "Don't see how that's my problem," Ed said bluntly, but his eyes gave him away, huge and luminous. He cared very much. "It's my turn." "I said that I won't, Steed." "And I said that it's my turn." He gently pushed Ed's shoulders against the brick wall before dropping to his knees. "Fuck, Steed, you..." Steed rested his hand at Ed's waist, fingers on his top button. He angled his head back, meeting Ed's gaze. "Do you want this?" Ed heaved in a huge breath, his entire chest moving with it. "Yes, damn me, I do." Steed didn't have any words after that. He just moved, thumbing open buttons. He dragged his palm downward and felt the way Ed stiffened under the slow caress of his hand. Then he was inside the leather, pulling him free, gliding over the soft skin of Ed's cock and listening to him pant above him. "Anything I should know?" "All works basically the same. I don't get STIs. "Isn't that lovely?" Steed said, and licked over the head of Ed's cock. "Do you know how much I've dreamed of this?" Then he enveloped him in his mouth with a hum of delight. "Steed, please." Ed was breathing fast, shallow breaths. Oh, fuck. I'd forgotten how good this feels. It's so good." Steed wrapped his hand around Ed, stroking him in time to the movements of his mouth and tongue. He swirled his tongue before flicking beneath the head. Ed's hand slid into his hair, and Steed gripped his other hand against the back of Ed's thigh, pulling him closer. He flattened his tongue, encouraging Ed deeper and moaning when he hit the back of his throat. "You want it like this?" "Mm-hmm," Steed agreed, while angling his head so they could move together more easily, and he could feel the way Ed's fingers were tightening and releasing in his hair as Ed continued to fuck into him. Steed could feel his own cock hard and trapped in his clothes. He dropped his hand from Ed's thigh to fumble at the fastenings, moaning in relief when he freed himself. "Please, please. Oh, Steed," Ed said above him, and Steed couldn't believe how wrecked Ed sounded. He sped his mouth and hand, pushing up the pace and listening to the acceleration of Ed's breathing. Steed savored the delicious weight of Ed sliding over his lips, matched with the tenderness of Ed cradling the back of his head. Ed trembled, cried out, and came. Steed swallowed around him, working him through his release. Once Ed was finished, Steed moved back and thumbed his mouth clean, licking over it for any lingering trace of Ed. His cock was still heavy and aching, but he had no intention of pushing Ed any further. He had just wanted a way to show that they could choose what they were to each other. It didn't have to be Steed as prey and Ed as the creature of the night who drained him. They'd never know the actual cost if they never tried at all. Steed was no longer willing to let caution steal his joy. Ed reached down and pulled him to his feet, tugging Steed close against him and into a kiss, gentle lips brushing against his, at first light and sweet, but with building pressure. Ed kissed him again and again, ever more deeply. Steed yielded, wondering if Ed fed from him this way too, and still willing to give him everything. Their bodies were pressed together in one long line, cocks grazing against each other, the stiff weight of Steed sliding against where Ed was hard and ready. He broke the kiss and glanced down, wondering if he'd made a mistake, but no, he hadn't. Ed, seeing the direction of his gaze, laughed. "I did say basically." "That's a pretty big basically, Ed." "Yes, it is." He returned to kissing Steed, grinding against him, seemingly lost in what they were doing. Ed finally pulled back and whispered, "That's enough." "Do you feed from kissing?" "What? No, of course not." "So there are some things you know about yourself," Steed said with a smirk. "I did some research, looked at the legends. There's nothing in there about fucking people to death." "It's in books. Stories." "Fiction. Did it ever occur to you that the fiction might be, I don't know, fictional?" "Yeah, sure. Maybe. Do you think I'm willing to test it out on you?" "Yeah, I think you are willing. I think you want this every bit as much as I do." Steed waited. Ed's sigh in response was full of yearning, and he plunged back toward Steed. They kissed, hungry mouths and roving hands and cocks moving against each other. Ed broke the kiss, but kept up the desperate motion of his hips. "All I want is to keep doing this, to have all of you. This is what I was afraid of," Ed said, kissing him again. "I want you to fuck me." "Yes," Steed agreed. Ed sighed deeply and pulled back. "No." "Yes," Steed said. He kept his eyes on Ed's. "You won't hurt me. This thing between us, it's not your power, is it? You've never used it on me." Ed shook his head. "Never. I wouldn't. I haven't. Not you," he finished, sounding anguished. "So this is just us. Only what we need. The rest doesn't come into it." Steed kissed down to Ed's collarbones, onto his chest, down to the neckline of his shirt. "Give me once. That's all I'm asking for. At least be willing to try." "If it doesn't work, Steed, you have to promise me. I can't be responsible for..." Ed broke off, real grief in his voice, and Steed understood that whether or not the threat was real, Ed feared it was. He tenderly kissed him. "I promise, Ed. If it doesn't work, I'll go. I'll never ask again." Steed watched Ed study his face. He must have read the resolve there. Steed was telling the truth. He would go if Ed asked him to. He would give Ed anything that he needed, including his absence. His heart was full of Ed, and Steed wouldn't hurt Ed either. Ed nodded, hope lighting his eyes. "Fuck me then," and he sounded so ravenous. "Right here?" Steed looked around the alley, having just remembered where they were. "I didn't bring anything for, you know, lubrication." also falls under basically, Ed said in a low rumble. He returned to kissing Steed, whispering between grazes of their lips. I don't usually do it this way. I'm not even sure if I feed like this. I want it either way, Steed said against his lips. That's the fucking problem. You're a lunatic, and one that I very much need inside me. More than happy to help with that. Steed broke away and gently pushed against Ed's shoulder, turning him to brace his hands against the wall before slowly pulling Ed's pants down his legs. He brought his hands back up to Ed's waist, brushing his fingers over the soft skin at Ed's hips before drawing his hands downward. You're so beautiful, he said with reverence, trailing his hands down the curve of Ed's ass. Ed moaned at the touch, and Steed again felt that rush of want. He slid his fingers even lower, using the lightest of pressure against Ed's rim. Please, don't tease. So Steed did what he asked, slipping a finger inside. What the fuck, Ed? You're so fucking wet. You're dripping. Is this all for me? Yeah, 'cause I want you to fuck me. Steed slid his finger slowly upward, wanting to know if everything was different, but Ed moaned when he found the spot he was looking for. He continued to massage over it, taking his time, even as his own cock ached with wanting. Please give me your cock, Ed begged. I need to feel you. Please. Yes, whatever you need. Steed pulled free and shifted his other hand to Ed's hip as he lined himself up, rubbing the head of his cock over Ed before he pressed slowly inside. Ed was tight and wet. It was so good. More than good. It was overwhelming and Steed hadn't even started moving yet. He spoke, helpless to stop himself. Oh, you feel incredible. Oh, God. God, I'm pretty sure, has nothing to do with this. Steed thrust, and they moaned together. If this is diabolical, then I'm surrendering to it. He thrust twice more. Fuck, it's good. You're so very good. Oh, fuck, I'm sorry. Steed uttered the words with genuine apology and came. He shuddered through his orgasm, drowning. When he finally reached the end of it, he leaned forward and rested his head against Ed's shoulder for a few moments. He let his breathing even out, and then moved his hand to grasp Ed's cock and stroke over him. Shit, sorry, I didn't know it could feel like that. Mmm, was Ed's only comment, and then Ed was pushing back against him, deliberately fucking himself on Steed's cock. Which was still hard? Steed laughed, startled, but drained of any possible resistance to this latest instance of magic. Ed laughed too, and then pushed back onto him again. Don't you dare say basically, Steed said. Wasn't about to. Ed met every thrust, moaning as Steed slid into him. I need you to fuck me. I need you to fuck me so thoroughly that everyone who sees me will know that you took me like this, that we did this together. I want people to see you on my skin. Fuck, Steed said, setting his teeth against Ed's shoulder, and when Ed moaned even louder, he bit just hard enough for Ed to feel it. Love. Fuck me. Steed did. He pulled his mouth free and moved his hand from Ed's hip to the back of his neck, pinning him closer to the wall as Ed lowered his hands, bracing them at chest level. The shift meant Steed was pressed along Ed's body, front to back, angled so each thrust took Ed hard and deep. Using his hands for leverage, Ed rocked back to meet Steed. They moved fast, the air filled with the sounds of their harsh breathing, their moans, the slap of their bodies moving in time. Steed could feel that he was close again, and he would not come without Ed this time. He adjusted his grip on Ed's cock, speeding his hand, and brushed his lips against Ed's neck. "Come on, sweetness. I want to feel you. Don't make me go without you. Come for me." Ed did, hard and loud. Steed listened to him, felt the divine way he was clenching around Steed's cock, felt Ed's cum spilling over his hand. Steed let go. He gave into the pleasure that was all too ready to take him once more. He came with an astonishing intensity, swept into an ocean of pleasure, and he cried out Ed's name. He floated in the vastness of it, lost to sense for long moments. They stilled, both breathing harshly, Steed feeling the way their chests rose together as they breathed the same air. He'd never felt so much like everything else in the world was right, if only for an instant. Ed curved his neck to reach Steed's lips, taking them with unhurried, soft kisses until their breathing was more even. Ed sighed, then asked, "Want to do this again? Perhaps I could take you back to my apartment? Not that I don't love semi-exposed alleyways behind bars, but there are things I would like to do with you that would be much easier on a bed."
Oh, yep. I could get behind that," Ed said, and pulled off.
Steed was relieved to see that he wasn't still hard. He pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and began cleaning himself off. Ed paused to giggle at Steed's efforts and then worked his own clothes back on. Once they were both reasonably restored and in less of a post-sex haze, the significance of the question finally struck Steed.
"Wait, you want to do it again? But..."
He wanted to curse himself, to bite his own tongue. He would do anything to stay with Ed for as long as he could have him, and he didn't want Ed to reconsider. Ed blushed, actually blushed, red creeping up his face. "It turns out it's voluntary? I just need sufficient motivation not to feed?"
"Oh, well, isn't that fab?" Steed said, genuinely excited before he thought it over.
"Wait, is that like trying not to sneeze? Are you still hungry? Do you need to eat before we go?"
Steed took a step back into the direction of the bar.
"I can get that guy back."
"Steed," Ed said, and laughed with such a joyful peal that Steed was tempted to start kissing him again.
"You don't need to seduce my fucking dinner."
"I was just going to kidnap him."
Steed gave in to desire and kissed Ed before saying, "I want you to be happy and healthy too."
"Shh, I'm trying to tell you something." Ed smiled and looked up at Steed through his eyelashes, flirtatious and sweet.
"I didn't feed on you, or not the way I usually do. I didn't feel a transfer, energy, sparks, whatever. But I'm not hungry. There was something else."
"Something? Like what?"
"Love. I'm pretty sure it was love."
"Oh!" Steed laughed. "There goes the big reveal."
He cupped Ed's face in his hands and kissed him once.
"Ed, I love you. That's why I didn't leave you alone. Why I kept coming back. I love your inside bit."
"Yeah, I'd say you just loved them really well."
Steed groaned and then laughed. "I love your sense of humor too, but I need you to promise me. Promise me that you'll feed if you need to. Me or someone else. Please?"
"I promise. I promise I'll take care of the person you love."
Ed brought their lips together and kissed Steed tenderly.
"Because I love you too. We'll do it together. Figure it out. We'll do your experiments. Everything, Steed. We'll do everything."
"That sounds like you're offering me the whole world."
"Because I am. Because you showed me we could have it."
He slipped his hand into Steed's, and together they walked out of the dark. This has been Calling Your Name by Lyra Talese, read for you by Little Fingies. I hope you've enjoyed this story. It's one of my favorites, and I was really glad when Lyra asked me to podfic this for the, what was it called? The big auction event that we did last summer. And so if you loved it too, please go back to AO3, tell them on the fic, because I'm sure they would love to hear it. I welcome comments as well. And as a side narrator's note, happy birthday, Lyra. I really wanted to finish this for you today. I'm sorry that it took me so long. On to the next.
I want someone to love me. I need someone who needs me.